Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day The Single Life, Season 4, Episode 12, Tell All, Part 1. My name's Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey, hey.
Well, let's get started with Verona Tim. So, Veronica's no longer with Jamal.
Which, I'm shocked.
Shock of the century.
Totally
right?
Shocked, yeah. You mean he didn't move to Charlotte like he said he would soon?
You mean that was just lip service?
Right. Like, God, that guy. He's just such a child, you know, like he's that typical, like, I'm like man baby where when people just like they don't like what's being said about them or they're losing the argument. So they just raise their voice and talk over people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To try to just get your attention off of whatever real point you were going to make and where you're just like, okay, forget it. I'm not even going to talk to
right.
you.
Right. Like, I'm so disappointed because he seemed like when he's with his mom, he seems like a decent dude,
yeah.
like a really good dude.
But then now with Veronica, he's just seemed like a fuckboy the whole time.
Yeah, he gets away from his mom. He totally changes, you know?
Kimbali needs to, check him.
Say something about that. But I guess Tim kept his opinions to himself, which I'm sure would be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I like that. Who was it? Was it Debbie that said something, was trying to say he's got resting bitch face, but was saying it in, I don't know, some kind of long-winded Debbie way,
yeah.
and he's like, I have resting bitch face, I know, and did he have a little, like, weed pen, not pen, but like, I don't know what the hell they call
like
it,
a vape?
Yeah, like a vape, but it's the marijuana ones aren't called vape, I don't think, it's like a,
I've only heard them referred to as like a THC cart.
Like some kind of, I don't even know what it's like. It looks like a whistle, like a kazoo, like a weed kazoo.
A pen. A pen.
But they have like actual weed pens I've seen that look like a pen.
Yeah.
But this is like a little, like almost like a larger flash drive USB.
Yeah.
Like a weed USB. But it looked like he had one of them in his hands. And I'm like, is that why he's so just like, yeah, whatever, all the time? I don't know, but whatever.
Walking in that situation, maybe you need it. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
You know? He's no longer dating Luisa, and I kind of don't care about that.
Yeah, but. And he was like talking about how, well, you know, we just didn't really progress. It's like, well, yeah, you dated her for, you went on like 20 dates and wouldn't kiss her.
Wouldn't kiss her.
Whose fault is that? But I don't know.
Keep it platonic while dating. Okay. So we reviewed the whole issue with Vicky still being friends with Tim and that whole scene, like the whole scene with Jamal making that comment about Tim's parenting, like just made me pissed all over again.
Yeah.
Like you're just shitty, dude.
Yeah. You can't even speak on his parenting. And it's just like a thing where Jamal, figured out that will upset Tim. So he just says shit to like upset Tim.
He went below the belt.
Yeah. Like if I say this, it's going to upset Tim. So I'm going to do it.
Hopefully he'd get all riled up and maybe Veronica will see that this guy's a maniac and I don't want to be around him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what his intentions were, but other than he wanted to get him all riled up.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just think it's really also insecure. I mean, we've talked about how Veronica and team do need to have some kind of boundaries
right.
where they're respecting, for lack of a better word, the concerns or worries or uncomfortableness that their current partners are feeling about their friendship. Like
right.
they do have to acknowledge to some degree, like, you know, that, okay, our friendship is unique. We did date. And again, how many years ago do you have to have dated to where, like, that's not relevant anymore? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Like, statute of limitations or something. Like, after 10 years, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't know. So it's just, they do have to have some level of boundaries, sure, but because their friendship is unique. But it's just, I'm just kind of over that insecurity of Jamal. Like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, you're just a fuckboy, and you couldn't grow up and make a connection work, so you're just, you know what I mean? Like, you're just making, oh, it's because you and team's related, friendship.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
okay.
it was.
Yeah, that's
and it's like, and it's just not to harp on that parent comment too much, but it's just like, if you have a problem with their friendship, keep it about their friendship.
Yeah.
He didn't need to go there, and it was just really shitty.
Yeah.
And honestly, Tim kind of let him off easy, because there's a lot of guys that have just knocked him right on his ass, you know?
Right. I liked how Veronica said at the beginning, though. She was like, yeah, you know, I think she was worried that Tim and Jamal might go at it. And she makes a comment about how, like, you know, and Tim, he can't defend himself. And it just,
yeah.
True. But it's just kind of funny that the way she said it of just, like, not even being mean, but just matter of fact, like, he can't defend himself.
Right.
And it's I enjoyed that.
I feel like you and I have been vindicated in at least some sense, though, because you and I mentioned that Jamal will eventually go away, but Tim will still be there.
Yeah.
And how Veronica kind of didn't stick up for Tim, like, on any level, really.
Yeah.
And she was just 100% Team Jamal. And now he's gone, and yep. Tim is still here.
Yep.
And now look at you stupid fuck.
Yeah. And I think it's because Tim understands, and they've been friends for so long that, like, Tim understands that, like, there's an element of, like, Veronica kind of being, you know, rose-colored glasses, you know what I mean? Being
sure.
swept up in the bullshit and trying to make her relationship work. And even in times where Tim was right and disagree, or, you know what I mean, or thought he was a fuckboy and warned her.
Right.
And, like, he's still able to come back and be like, you know, well, I told you so, without saying, actually, this time I told you so. And,
right.
You know, like he's still her friend. Like, it's, you know.
The whole world saw. It saw it. You just need to say it.
I don't have to tell you. I told you so. The whole world is telling you. Thanks.
I didn't like that Jamal called Tim sweetheart because he looks like one.
It's yeah. Just,
I felt like homophobic in a way.
Yeah, like
I guess.
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
I think it's just Jamal being the whole way Jamal was acting, talking over everybody. He didn't let a single person finish a sentence.
Yeah, he wasn't listening.
And when you do that, you're not listening to the other person. You're just it's that whole thing like listen to what do they say? Listen to respond, not react.
Right.
And he's just reacting all over the place. And it's just insecurity. Like, when men act like that, I'm like, you are just a weak bitch. That's all that, just weak bitch, weak bitch is all you're saying.
When you know you have a weak point, you don't want people to see that you have a weak point. So you just talk over them and keep them from getting a point in, you know, getting a point across edgewise, right?
Yep.
So
nobody can think you're an asshole or hear what you did wrong if you just talk over them the whole time where they can never finish telling you what they did.
Yeah, I know. And he pointed out that, like, Tim and Veronica talk shit about each other, which I'm not really surprised by.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know.
I don't know. I think that I don't really talk shit about my friends, right?
No.
But sometimes here and there, I'm sure there's a thing that, like... Probably you, right? Like, you've probably said something to your wife in the past about the bozo I'm dating, right?
Or
you know what I mean?
Know,
or, like, I can't believe Jenny's dating this fucking idiot. Or, you know, or, like, just some, like, little shit.
We talk shit to each other about each other.
That was my next point, is usually we don't have a problem telling each other whatever the shit talk is directly. We just cut out the middleman and go straight to the source. So it's just, you know, but, like, with Tim and Veronica specifically, like you said, I'm not surprised that they do their little, like, bitching about each other to other people.
Right. And you know, when you're so close with someone, you spend so much time with someone, they get on your nerves.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you just want to explode with someone else who kind of understands the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And isn't that like relationships, right? Like, you're dating someone and, you know, they're going to get on your nerves. Or, like you said, they're going to piss you off, you know, whatever. And you go to your friends to vent about what they're doing that pisses you off, or to check and see, am I off base here
and
technically that's talking shit about your partner, right?
Sure.
But it's like, there's a level of, like, you got to be able to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
And it doesn't mean that you don't love that person or that, you know, that you're not happy being with them. But sometimes it's like, you know, you just want to explode and you don't want it to turn into a fight. And maybe it's not something that's worth really getting into it about. But you still, it's on your mind.
Right.
You
want
to get,
like,
it off your chest, you know.
If you say it to the partner, it may become this big thing. And it's really not worth being this big thing. So you're just going to vent about it. I'm just going to vent about it to my friend, get off my chest. And then I'm good.
And I know there's a lot of people that tell you, well, you should just be open and honest with your partner about that. And it's like, yes, but also you got to choose your battles, too.
Yeah.
you know, it's just...
Agreed.
I don't know. Jamal broke up with Veronica over text. What a bitch move. And he did the peace sign emoji.
Yep.
Like,
and
Gen Z over here.
Yeah. And that was triggering for me because, you know, I was broken up with over text. But it was because I was... And I think this was what Jamal was doing, too. It was, I was asking the guy to, I was going to at least do it over the phone, right? So I was like, hey, you have to call me at some point today by 4:00. I'm busy after 4:00. Find time in your day to give me a quick phone call.
Preemptive strike.
He, you know, and when a girl says, we need to talk, you already know. You know what time it is.
Oh, sure.
So he knew I was going to break up with him because I had had it and he was very aware. So he stonewalled and ignored me the whole day. I checked in, like, it was like 8 a.m., right? I woke up, and I'm like, hey, this is what you got to do by the end of business day today, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 11, checked in. Hey, make sure you find time to call me. We need to talk. Nothing. 2 o'clock, same thing. Nothing. 4:01, I'm like, thank you for showing me again how much you value me in this relationship.
What a letdown you are.
And I put a little swoon gif, you know, like, ooh, you know. And then right away, after I sent that, he sends a little breakup text. Uh-huh. And I'm like, a breakup over text with a laughing emoji. I'm like, bye, motherfucker.
See ya. Yeah.
Bye, MF. And that was it.
Yeah.
Was
it reminds me of the Seinfeld when George was avoiding his girlfriend because he knew she wanted to break up with him.
I remember that episode. Yep.
She can't break up with me. She can't find me.
And lucky for George, this is, of course, before texting and all this other FaceTime and all this bullshit. But yeah, so I thought it's a bitch move. But you know what? It's, again, one of those things of, like, it makes you feel kind of on the surface of, like, wow, I didn't even deserve a phone call. You know, but no, it is nothing, again, nothing to do with
it's
you.
It's about them.
It's about them.
Yeah.
They're a bitch. They're mm-hmm. weak, and like, and that's Jamal, and that's that guy. You know, it's like, and they do that whole like, oh shit, she's about to leave me. I'm gonna leave her before she leaves me, and it's another control grab of like, I did the breakup.
You
I
can't
broke up
fire
with her.
Me. I quit.
Yeah, yeah. Step into my office for a minute. and that's exactly it. It says absolutely nothing about me. I tried to break up with him through the, you know, over the phone. You know what I mean? And it's like, he, oh shit, I'm gonna be the big man, and I broke up with her first. Nah. Like, all right, buddy. If you need that little crumb
of control,
that little win, you have it. That's fine.
And it's like, what about his excuse that, well, I was gonna call her, but I was just so busy with my mom. We were trying to sell her house.
Yep.
It takes 2 seconds to call someone. What do you mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
What?
Yep. Yep.
How long? It's not gonna be a 3-4 hour phone call.
Yep. It's just a bitch move, man. It's, you know, it. I ain't got time for it.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't buy that for a second.
Yeah.
So, Luisa saying that Veronica got drunk and called Jamal human trash, and she can't believe she's with a guy like that. He's like a bum and all that.
Do you think she said that?
I kind of believe Luisa.
I don't think she said trash. That doesn't
sound
like a word.
She may have used other words.
I think she probably said, I think what really happened is she probably was talking with Luisa about essentially, like, and again, I can identify with this too, or relate to this, is she probably was talking with Luisa, like, oh, I can't believe I'm with a guy like Jamal. You know, I got a lot going on for me. You know, Jamal doesn't have a job. He lives with his mom. I think it was more nicer than, oh yeah, he's trash. I can't believe I'm dating trash.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe she said trash, but didn't say it in that kind of context.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she said, well, normally I would think a guy like that is trash, but
yeah,
you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I feel like that conversation did happen just from Veronica's reaction.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
in which, I mean, again, fair, Veronica, because, you know, your boy was unemployed.
She's not wrong.
Mid-30s, you know? Living with his mama. Like, I mean, you know,
So, I don't know. It's like the whole thing, like, oh, I wasn't really communicating. I was taking care of my mom. That just bothered me. Like, shut the fuck
up,
dude.
And him, too, being like, when he gives his little apology or whatever of, like, you know, oh, I didn't communicate the way that she wanted, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's, and I don't like that excuse either. He says it somewhere in there of, like, what did he say? Like, I just felt like I was doing everything wrong. And it's like, again, I've heard that too. And it's like, dude, I didn't communicate the way she wanted. It's like, again, like from my situation, like, dude, sending me one text in the entire day. Don't come back at me and make me sound like some kind of needy asshole.
Oh, you're needy as
shit. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, finding time to hang out with me once a week at 10 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Don't make me be like some clingy bitch where I want to see you every second of the day. Like, come on, man. Like, there's a line there. And that's what I feel like Jamal was doing.
Right.
He was probably more on that end of the spectrum, barely talking to her, barely seeing her. And then being like, nothing I did was good enough. Yeah. Like, okay, but
well,
it wasn't, bro.
That's the thing. If they can't control you, they at least will try to control how other people see you.
Yes.
You know?
And
that's
And how other people will see you with their smear campaign.
Right,
make you look like the bad guy,
well, that's
the crazy
person. That's what I mean. Like, they're going to try to make it seem like you were just nuts. You were crazy. She wanted me to call her 40 million times a day. It's like, no, dude, I'm not just a text at lunch.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and again, yeah, like, and see, I'm sure Veronica wasn't expecting, like, a text message every 5 minutes all through the day. I'll play by play of everything. You're like,
and it's like, if you're really into that person, you would just do that anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing too. If you were really into the person or into having a connection, a relationship, whatever, you would just naturally want to talk to your person. You would right. want to see how they're, you would actually care how their day go.
You wouldn't be needed to be prompted for that, like, right?
Hey, that meeting you said you had today on that big thing, how'd that go for you? You know what I mean? Like, you would actually be interested.
Right.
Not acting like having to, like my ex would ask
what
me.
What a chore.
When I would talk to him about communication, about how, hey, man, you text me like once a day, what, you know, like we don't communicate. Like, oh, well, what's the quota? How many texts a day should I send?
God.
And he would actually say, what's the quota? How many should I send? And I'm like, bro, you don't get it. Like, it's not about a quantitative, like, oh, if you text me 20 times today, you're right. golden, man. Great boyfriend, boyfriend of the year.
Yeah.
It's, again, like, if you wanted to talk to me, you wouldn't even have to count, you know?
Right.
It's like, yeah, you don't get it.
Silly.
Done.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
So what the hell's going on with Kim Bali that she needs, is she bedbound all of a sudden? Like, Jamal needs to take care of her 24 hours a day?
I don't know. And I haven't looked at her Instagram to kind of try to see what's going
maybe
on.
Maybe something
but...
happened. I don't know.
Yeah,
because it sure sounded dire from what he was saying, huh?
Yeah.
How about Tyrae? Not a lot has gone on with Tyrae.
He's 33 and still a virgin.
Still got that V card.
Yep.
Talks to that one lady he was hanging out with in NOLA.
Yep.
Nothing's happened there. Nothing will happen there.
Nope.
So... I feel like Tim and John kind of gave him good advice that, like, as far as approaching women and trying to be more open to social. It's like, the worst that can happen is that a woman might say, no, you're not my type.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just part of life, man. It's you know.
I mean, I understand that worst case scenario, like, you approach over the course of, we'll say, like, 2 months. You go out every weekend. You go out once a weekend, right? And then you're going to try to approach some women and, like, in a 2 month period, you've asked out 20 women straight, like back to back, like, you know,
right.
you know what I mean, in a row, and they tell you no. Like, wouldn't you feel like, well, fuck, you know what I mean? Like,
I know
20 women and not a one entertained me. You know,
yeah.
like I mean, but that's like worst case scenario. But it's like, but like,
it's like the 21st might say yes though. You know what I mean?
True.
It's just
it's like
what it is. You know,
What's it? You miss every shot you don't take. So.
Right. Michael Jordan, Michael Scott.
I was like, who else said it besides Michael Scott? But that's who I think of. But
or is it Wayne Gretzky?
I think it's Wayne Gretzky. Yeah, I think it's Wayne Gretzky. And but yeah, I like that John was just kind of like, you know, what did he say? Like,
you're
going
to explode within two seconds.
Or, and yeah, he's like, oh, it's going to be two pumps and you're done, pal. Like, it's just like, well, yeah, probably.
I mean, yeah, probably.
I did like that they both were like, basically I think it was John that said, like, some people can, like, because I kind of resent how Tyrae's brother was like, oh, you got to be more of a bad guy. Like,
right.
Okay. Speaking for the women out here, we're kind of tired of bad guys, but we also don't want, like, the weak bitch, like, nice guy. Like, don't be like a secret covert narcissist who's,
right.
like, a weak bitch, but don't be like, there is a line. You can't be too nice because you are going to friend zone yourself.
That's what it is. He's being too nice.
Yeah. And so don't quite shift to bad guy, fuck boy. And I think, I forget who it was. It was either Team or...
I think it was John.
Or John that was like, you can't
if you're not fuck boy, don't be fuck boy.
Yeah. He's like, some people can pull off fuck boy. You can't pull off fuck boy. So stay the nice guy. So it's like, but the...
Get rid of the giggle.
Yeah, I was gonna say, get rid of the fucking giggle.
They brought out fucking Sarpro, which I was kind of shocked to see.
Yeah, I
and
wasn't expecting
his,
that.
That was like his number one thing, like, get rid of the giggle. Like,
yeah.
God damn, man, if we haven't said that all season, you gotta get rid of the giggle, man.
I hate agreeing with Sarper.
Oh, yeah.
All the rest of the shit he said, I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like,
the tiger attack?
Yeah, like, what is that? Don't come up behind me and kiss my neck.
First of all, that sounds like a crime. It's a bad idea.
Like, if I'm on a first date with you, presumably it's a first date, and, like, you go to the bathroom and you come back and you, like, kiss me on my neck, like, I'm probably going to, like, out of reflex, elbow you in the face. Like, don't
That's not good. And, like, in any way, you're giving him the wrong advice anyway, because it's like, he hasn't even gotten to the date part yet.
Yeah.
You're telling him what to do on a date that he hasn't figured out how to get yet.
Yeah, you're going to have him walking up behind random women in bars
snuggling
kissing
their necks and shit. Like, dude. Like, basically, it's like when I ask you, if I ask you, like, how do I make $1 million? Like, what you do with your first $1 million is invest it.
And yeah.
Like, no, I need to know how to get the million first, buddy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, I don't know. Then,
The giggling is so cringe. And even Sarper, he does it while talking to Sarper. He, 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 he. And Sarper's like, I just heard it. You did it again. And
it's insecurity, like, is what it is.
Yeah, it is. He's uncomfortable. He's feeling insecure.
Nervous
and so it's a nervous giggle. And I get it. But it is like, I feel like Tyrae needs either like a really confident woman who's okay with like someone like Tyrae, or like almost where like, oh, I'm gonna take you under my, I'm gonna like make you into a man, like that kind of like confident, like I don't know how to explain it. We're like,
I know what you mean.
You're so confident of a woman where you're okay with like a giggly, you know, inexperienced man. Where
that's
you're
just
gonna,
what you like,
you know,
maybe.
Yeah.
That might be some woman's kink.
And I think mean? That like, Tyrae strikes me as the kind of guy that would be okay with like a real confident, you know, sure of herself woman who takes the lead.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know.
So I feel like that might be more of what he needs, because it's just, otherwise it's just like, you know, I don't know, Miss Debbie being like, I think it's endearing, like, no, I think it's just like, why are you giggling, man? Like,
she's 70, you know. It's
yeah,
like...
and like I just imagine going up and talking to, like, if a guy like Tyrae approached me and, you know, in a bar and just like wouldn't stop like giggling, I'd be like, what are you giggling?
Like, can you imagine trying to have a conversation and he just can't fucking stop giggling? Like,
yeah,
like, dude, I'm trying to like talk to you here. Like, shut up.
Like,
you know?
Like, what is so funny? Why do you keep fucking laughing? Yeah. Like, I didn't say anything funny.
But that's probably cute for like 2 seconds, and then it'd just be over it.
Yeah.
Like, it would start pissing you off.
It reminds me of like being, I don't know, like if a fifth grader or fourth grader was, or some kind of first grader to some kind of whatever kid thing was like,
yeah.
I like you, Sally.
That's
exactly
what it
like
is.
Like little kids, you know? Like, we're adults, man. You know?
Cut the shit, man.
And Tyrae's one of my favorites, I think, in this series,
like
whatever.
Him.
I like him a lot. I wish that we lived near him and we could help him.
Protect him,
And protect him and help him and teach him the ways of how to get what he wants. And
Miss Debbie's like, she's talking about like, oh, he's not just gonna pull into any port in a storm. And John's like, listen, there's a big difference between pulling in no ports and just having nothing. Right? And it's like, no, John's kind of right here, though. You know, it's about building up that confidence by just going out with some women and trying to you know, get it in.
Yeah.
Even if she's not the one, stop looking for the one. Just,
right.
You know.
And even just talking to women is practice, right? You get
like
absolutely. More and more comfortable the more you do. And somebody said that too. The more you go out, the more you talk to women. And
right.
I think it was John said, the more you sleep with women, you get more used to it or whatever. But
right.
Which is also true. But it's just, I think that he just needs like, and because I thought it was interesting too, them bringing up the experience of like, do women, like most women don't want to have a guy that's like, you know, completely inexperienced. And I think they ask, like, would you want to teach a guy? And, you know, and I mean, me, like, I don't want a guy that's totally ran through, but I also don't at this, especially all the bullshit I've been through, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to teach a motherfucker how to do anything. Not in the bedroom, not behavior, not what respect means, not right from wrong.
Not when you're north of 30. Man.
Yeah, man. Just... I'm in my mid 30s. I'm not doing it. If you're in your mid 30s or even older, I'm not going younger. Sorry, fellas. And not at this point. Tried that. Nope. And you know, and it's like I try. Yeah. When you're in your mid 30s with me or older, and you still don't know right from wrong or what respect means or how to fucking, you know,
make cumsies.
Yeah. I'm like, and again, in the bedroom, right? There, everybody likes different things. Communicate what you like, what you want, don't like, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
But it takes experience to even know that.
Yeah. It's like, don't come at me and give me like some weird, passionless, robotic, like, or just even like men can be pillow princesses too. All right, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
And like, don't come at me with your like 30 seconds of just like robotic, mechanical in and out, and then you know,
I just wasted an Uber ride. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
It's like, what is that? It like I'm, you know, and it's like, well, how am I supposed to get to the part of what I like, try this, do that, move here.
Right.
But, you know, how am I supposed to get there when I got 30 seconds on the clock? Like, what am I supposed to do? And so there's a level there of like, no, I don't expect a man to just magically know all my buttons and whatever, right?
Right.
But like, I'm not going through this like, this is how you put the condom on the banana.
No. And an experienced dude would know, like, oh, I got to try different things. And she doesn't like that. I got
to
do this.
Right.
Do
like,
that.
Oh, this just doesn't seem to be working, or I'm not getting that kind of reaction. Let me switch it, you know.
That takes time, and it takes experience. You got to do it, you know.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, Tyrell and his V card. How about Chantel?
I like how you kind of blended. You said Tyrell.
Tyrell, Chantel.
I knew you meant Tyrell and Chantel.
Yeah. This shit's just running together, man.
Marty makes his own transitions verbally.
Yeah. It doesn't, it makes sense in my head and doesn't come out right. You know, that happens a lot, actually.
That tracks.
I've been up since like 4 a.m. I can't fucking keep up. Chantel. Still in contact with Giannis.
What?
Giannis. What's his name?
Oh, Giannis. Oh, still in contact. That was the first part I didn't hear. I heard Giannis.
First contact.
But... Yeah. Still in contact.
Uh-huh. I don't know who said it, but they made a beautiful point about how this whole trip's about her getting over Pedro, and she's still done with Pedro, but then she just talked about Pedro the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think that, like, Chantel needs to take a fucking minute and honestly go to therapy, like, or just even not, if you don't want to do therapy, take an actual, like hiatus from dating and just reconnect with herself. Instead of going out and looking for her other, like, fantasy, you know? Yeah. Like, it sounds cheesy, but you really need to take a minute to learn how to re-love yourself as just yourself.
Who said that? Like, she was looking for another fairy tale.
Yeah.
Someone said that. It's like, but it's exactly right, though.
Yep.
Apparently, Waka Flocka, she hung out with him, met his parents and shit. Like, he, like, got in her DMs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Wouldn't commit to whether or not she was, Drake was a hollering.
Right. And you know, that's so interesting because it's like, I remember reading in various places that happened, but like, it's weird that I'm wondering what's behind why she can't like confirm or deny. Like, did he make her sign some kind of NDA for the fact that he DM'd her? Like, you know, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Like, why is it so weird that, because then even like, Sean
we
was like,
know.
Yeah, because even Sean was like, helped when Tim wouldn't kind of let it go. Like, Sean helped, like, okay, I want to talk about something else. Like, even Sean was aware, seemingly, that, like, this is something we can't talk about.
Maybe he likes a finger in his ass, and she's like, oh, I better not go there.
That's what I'm, well, not the finger in the ass, but, like, I'm wondering if, like, they actually did maybe meet up in some to some extent, and he had her sign an NDA, because that's not common, or uncommon, with celebrities to have NDA signed by anybody that, like, gets involved.
I think I've heard that before.
So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they did kind of hang out, but he had her sign an NDA.
Which I don't even understand why. Like, it's not bad for his image.
Right.
Who cares? Well, maybe he was married. I don't know. I don't know anything about Drake.
Drake
maybe
is
he's
not
married.
Okay. I still have a chance. Thank you. I did meet Drake when he was in Detroit, like, I don't know, 2017, 2018?
Did he slide in your DMs?
No, he didn't. I tagged him in my photo we took together, and he didn't
give a fuck, did he?
No, he didn't, no. But one day, guys, one day, maybe he'll notice me. But
if you start twerking in Greece, maybe he'll fucking send you a message.
Maybe that'll work. But yeah, but yes, I did meet him, and we spoke for a while, and we walked down the hall, a really long hall, guys, together. And just so you guys know, Drake is my celebrity crush. So Drake, if you're listening, please check out our podcast and locate me.
I'm
so
sure he listens.
I'm waiting for your call. Anyway, Drake is my celebrity crush, still is, has been for quite some time. And, so when you are walking down a very, very long hallway, which probably isn't even really that long in retrospect, but, like, with the celebrity that you don't actually think you're ever going to meet, and then you don't think you're ever actually going to, like, have a one-on-one opportunity to, like, talk with him.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. And I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared.
Did you try to hold his hand?
No. I should have, though. and it was just, it was just a lot of, like, he was being flirty. Like, he was just Drake, you know, and I was just, like, total fangirl. Like, oh my God.
You fell for it.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I was like, I was not. I made jokes. Oh, I'm going to meet Drake. And then I wasn't actually planning on it. And I did. And I was just so, like, struck by my own manifestation of, like, oh my God, I wasn't prepared for, like, if I did. And
So you fucked up. You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready. No. But we did walk and talk for what felt like forever.
That's cute.
So. Anyway.
Well, Chantel has a laundry list of, like, what she wants in a man.
Yeah.
And Veronica's like, you know, that's just like a ticket to loneliness. It's just a recipe for loneliness.
Which I have conflicting thoughts on that. Like, Veronica says, like, oh, over the years, her list had, like, every, what she said, like, every few months she takes a thing off her list, you know? And it's like, I am on Chantel's side of everything she's been through. She deserves to sort of, like, you know what I mean? Like law of attraction, like, put it out.
Right.
This is what I'm looking for in a guy. And, like, and the idea is if you have this this positive thinking, you have this little like vision board or this list of what you want, that you'll attract it better. And so I don't know if it actually works or what, but like,
I don't know, because I kind of got the impression that she has these lists of needs, and mm-hmm. if the dude doesn't satisfy an item on this list, he's just done.
Yeah.
Now if that's what she's doing, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And like, now visualizing and manifesting and the secret, all that stuff, that's great. But to say, like, to limit yourself so much as to, like, these are what I need, and if anything outside of this, I have no interest in. It's like, I think, I personally, it's like, I think you should just hang out with someone, and if you kind of gel with them, that's great. You don't necessarily have to have everything in common, right?
Well, no. I don't think her list wasn't so much about having everything in common. She's similar to me, of where, like, she just wants a guy to have what she has. Like, she wants a good-looking guy. She's a good-looking girl. She wants a good-looking guy. She wants a well-hung man, which, nothing wrong with that. I mean,
don't we all?
No offense, you know, guys out there that this might fall to, but, like, I don't think many women are typically wishing for, like, a nub on a man.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That offensive.
no offense, Marty. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little bit whatever. Like, you could probably, she could probably be flexible on what her
right.
definition of hung is, but, like, she wants a guy with good career, a good looking guy, a guy that is financially stable, and like the things she listed are not bad things.
They're not unreasonable. They're not unreasonable things.
As an adult, like, you know, and that's where I am. Like, I don't want to date a guy that's living in a basement. I don't want a guy that's working part time.
Yeah.
I don't want a guy that has poor credit. I don't want a guy that has a kid and no custody of her. You know what I mean? Like, I want the, you know.
It's okay to have deal breakers and stuff. I just, sometimes people get so granular and specific.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not doing yourself any favors, dude.
That's where she needs to be careful of how specific she's going to be.
Right.
But I don't think it's ridiculous of her to want a man that's at least in the same place.
Well, it's
in
okay
life.
To have standards. It's not, you know, that's not wrong.
Because,
but
like, things like, I mean, you can't, like, for me, like, I, like, part of my, well, part of a dream at one point was, you know, I was going to grow up. And I was going to, you know, meet a man at some point. I'd have my career. He'd have his career. We'd decide to get married. We'd you know, merge our finances, like, together as you do in a marriage. Buy a house together. And, but it's like, the reality is, like, I can't buy a house with somebody that is broke, works part-time, has no aspirations to make more money. Because what's going to happen is I'll buy the house. It'll be in my name. They'll maybe agree. They'll pay X amount. Maybe gradually they won't. Over time, they'll stop paying.
They'll just fuck off.
Then all of a sudden, I'm paying for the mortgage fully. I'm paying for cable.
The whole point was you couldn't afford on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're now, I'm basically, it can very quickly become you're supporting basically a grown child. And so it's things like that are important. Like, if you have your own career and stuff, then I don't really have to worry about that.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, no man babies. Have your shit together. Because
yeah.
if you're getting with a man, baby, you aren't starting at zero. You're starting at a deficit.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to fucking start at a deficit, man. I'm too grown to, you know,
exactly.
raise a grown man.
Yeah.
You know, it just
exactly.
doesn't, you know.
And that goes back to the same shit of, like, I'm not training nobody, and I'm not going to be no man's mama. You know,
yeah.
you had your time. And again, we're in our mid-30s. You've had your time to
yeah.
be a baby. And
yep.
I'm not taking care of no grown man, baby. Not
yeah.
doing
it. No, I agree with that. You know, so. But Debbie was really, really upset about how Chantel presented herself in Greece.
Yeah, with the no panties.
Announcing to the world that she had no panties.
Yeah.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, good for Chantel for being DTF, but at the same time, it's like, she also wanted to be treated like a Disney princess.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
yeah.
You kind of can't, sometimes you can't have it both ways.
Yeah. And know? I mean, and like, because it's fine if you, because her trip to Greece was supposed to be getting the D, right? And
yeah.
and so, and it's fine, totally fine to be someone that just wants to get it in, like you said, DTF.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then, like, she, like you said, then she, but she wants, like, the treatment of, like, royalty, of, like, a man
mm-hmm.
courting her and doing this and doing that. And, like, yeah, and it's just like, well, men don't really do that for women. No. They're just gonna fuck. They might not open really. The door for you or buy you a drink, but like, they're not gonna like wine and dine you per se. Yeah. And when you are talking about how you're not wearing any panties and you're wearing something where anybody can see you're not wearing any panties, like, yeah. you know, it's like you are sending the message that you are DTF.
You're DTF.
And so you're not going to get this, like, you know, like special treatment.
And it's like, you know, in an ideal world, the perfect world, women could act any way they fucking want and be treated like a queen and be like a prince, but it's right. just not necessarily going to happen. And I mean, all women deserve respect,
right?
Regardless of how they act.
And you can be someone that's just that a guy's just going to fuck and he can still respect you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It's like she wants a certain type of experience that realistically she's not bringing the right energy.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's the real world. It's just not like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know.
And I mean, I think Debbie made a good point too, where she's, when Chantel's like, well, what's the difference of me like wearing a bikini? And she's like, the location. Like, if you're on a beach wearing a bikini, that's fine. But like, if you're in a bar or club or whatever, and you're and again, she goes back and forth from I'm DTF or I'm just looking to get the D, and then I'm looking for, you know, a foreign man in my next fairy tale. It's like, are you looking for love or are you looking to fuck? Because you're dressing and you're acting like you're just trying to fuck.
Right. You're not sending the right message.
Yeah. So you're sending conflicting signals out there. And like you said, in a perfect world, a woman could be wearing no panties and wearing whatever, you know, being naked, you know, or whatever. And she'd be respected. She'd be treated like, you know, whatever. But like, if you're just looking to bang somebody, it's like, you're not going to, why would you put in all that extra work like you're going to try to date someone if you're just going to sleep with them and not remember them tomorrow.
Not never talk to them again. Yeah, it's like I'm not, you know, the girl that's not a lot of guys are going to say to this girl twerking at the fucking olive oil pressing place, ooh, I want to bring her home and meet my mother.
Right.
You know, it's the real world, man. Yeah,
and again, it goes back to like in a perfect world, that wouldn't be frowned upon, like, do you, whatever. There'd be no such thing as, like, oh, that's so off-putting or disrespectful or unladylike. Right. There would be no unladylike, right?
Yeah.
But there is, and just, like, there's certain behaviors with men. If you're behaving a certain way or whatever, like, you don't look like marriage material. You don't look like a guy I'd want to date. Like, even you may be some, you know, dude that lives in a basement and works part time, and you know, but like maybe you are 6'3" and gorgeous. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll bang you, but like I'm not gonna like try to date you. I'm not gonna talk to you later.
Exactly. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, like you're twerking at the olive oil thing, and you are walking around talking about in this bar you have no panties on. Like, all right, yeah, I'll bang you, but like I'm not gonna want to date you.
Yeah, I'm not making plans here. Yeah. Like, come on. And it's like, if she just, I, you know, I know she felt pretty judged about how she acted on her vacation, but it's like, dude, if you just went there to meet people to kind of bang, have fun, and come home, I don't think you'd be judged as harshly.
No.
Honestly. It's like, well, you went and accomplished your mission or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
But the whole, like, well, I want to be a princess and I want to be treated like, you know, Princess Di or whatever. I don't know. I can't think of an example of a princess in real life. but then I'm out here, you know, flopping my titties around and not wearing undies. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, lady. You know.
And like as like a woman, you know, like I don't want to be, you know, I feel uncomfortable like, you know, shitting on a woman for just doing what she, you know, but there are things like in society of like if you act this way or you act that way or, you know, it's like there's certain things that, you know, are, for lack of a better word, marriage material and stuff that isn't. And it's like, you gotta pick your lane. Where are you at? Are you here to get the D in Greece? Or are you here to find love? And
it's like, that can mean something different to different people. You know, what is not marriage material. But we're talking about things that are kind of a commonality across the board.
Yeah.
Usually when people are looking to settle down, I want to find someone that's stable. I want to find someone that has their shit together.
Yeah.
And when I see someone flapping around their titties and ass out, that's not necessarily my first thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, like that says like, oh, I'm party girl. Like that. Yeah. And that's where I'm at in life is I want to be this party girl. And like, I don't want that.
There's nothing wrong with being the party girl too. It's like, be the party girl. But you know. When you are ready to come around and have your fantasy fairy tale, you can do it a different way. You can come back and do it differently.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, B-girl's gone wild. Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, do it.
Yeah.
Go you. So
go you.
Karen's ready to beat the shit out of Debbie, though.
Yeah.
She's not happy about that.
I don't like Karen at all. And
she kinda sucks,
yeah. I think that she, it's easy to see, like, Chantel has a level of Delulu about her and how the world works. Mm-hmm. And we can see that it comes from Karen.
Well, sure.
And I do think that Karen and Chantel are very, well, mostly Karen. Chantel isn't as much, but like, Karen is a very confident, sure of herself person. As a little bit Delulu as she may be, she's confident in who she is.
Yeah.
And that's great. If you're going to be you, be confident about it, be whatever about it, right?
Absolutely.
But it's like, I think that somewhere it gets lost of between her and Chantel of like, you know, like what's, I don't know. I think there's just a level of fantasy and delusion that goes on with how they think the world or life works.
Right. That's all. I agree. And it's like, you know, I don't know. The thing is that Debbie, as old-fashioned, kind of corny as she may have came off, she was making some decent points.
Yeah.
She wasn't necessarily wrong about everything she was saying. So.
Right.
I don't know. I can't wait to see the conclusion to this exciting tell-all. So please join us next time. And we'll talk about 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life, Season 4, Episode 13, Tell-All Part 2. Goodbye.